acá, hombres, niños y mujeres, el esfuerzo siempre haremos, campesinos, los obreros, todos juntos por el pueblo. Vamos, vamos, vamos. Porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
This is Radio Zapatista, Chiapas, No Se Olvida. Transmitting live from New College here at the Mission District in San Francisco, La Otra, Califas, bringing the revolution to your ears.
¡Órale!
I'm Alejandro Reyes, and with you tonight we have Pedro Navarro, Daniel Nemser, and Marianne Tenuto Sánchez. Today we're going to be talking about the recent killings in an indigenous community in Chiapas in the context of land disputes and government corruption. We'll also talk about Felipe Calderón's new authoritarian government and the appointment of extreme right hardliners to key positions and what seems to be a clear message of intolerance to social movements in the country. And we'll give you an update on the situation in Oaxaca. But first, we have a special invitation for you straight from the good government councils in the Five Caracoles of the Zapatista territories.
Encuentro de los pueblos zapatistas con los pueblos del mundo.
Sisters and brothers of Mexico and the world, my name is Roel. I'm a member of the Good Government Council Toward Hope of Caracol One, mother of all caracoles, the sea of our dreams, located in La Realidad, Chiapas, Mexico.
My name is Yolanda. I'm a member of the Good Government Council, Los Altos, Oventic, Caracol Resistance and Rebellion for Humanity, Central Heart of the Zapatistas Before the World.
My name is Romeo. I'm a member of the Good Government Council, Caracol 3, Action of Resistance of the Dawn of the Path to the Future.
My name is Ofelia. I represent the Good Government Council of Morelia, Caracol 4, Tornado of Our World. My name is Sara Luz. I'm a member of the Good Government Council, the new seed that you produce, Caracol 5, Roberto Barrios, Northern Zone.
We're inviting all the peoples of the world because we want to meet each other and tell our stories of how we resist in the various parts of the world.
Because of that, we saw that we needed to call for this encounter to share experiences and ideas. How do you organize yourselves? How do you resist? Brothers and sisters of national and international civil society, we wait for you with open hearts and arms in this encounter between the Zapatistas and the peoples of the world.
The encounter will take place in Caracol 2, Oventic, on December 30th and 31st, and January 1st and 2nd, 2007. Orale. Well, if you're around and you can make it, come and join us. Several of us are going to be down there, and we're going to start the new year celebrating revolution and building together in reality.
Órale.
On November 13th, an armed attack occurred in the community of Viejo Velasco in the Lacandon jungle of Chiapas, leaving several people dead. Marianne Tenuto has been following that story.
At least four people died as a result of the attack in Viejo Velasco. Another four people are missing and presumed dead. Two people have been detained by police. A tremendous amount of inaccurate information was published in both Spanish and English about this number of dead and the political affiliations of Viejo Velasco's residents. The misinformation about the number of dead seems to be due to the fact that not all the bodies were found, and therefore not all the missing could be classified as dead officially by the government. Misinformation about the political organization of those attacked is a bit more complex. The state government claimed those attacked were affiliated with Chinish, an independent Chol organization usually friendly or sympathetic to the EZLN. Chinish claimed those attacks were perpetrated against the EZLN. The EZLN finally released a statement clarifying that those attacked were not Zapatistas. That clarification, of course, did not state the political affiliation of those attacked. With what is most probably 8 indigenous people dead, it is extremely important that the dynamics of this mass murder be understood. It has never been in dispute who the attackers are. They are members of the Lacandon community from Nueva Palestina, recipients of a communal land grant to a group of indigenous people whose origins are in dispute, but are known as Lacandon Maya. Some Chol and Tzeltal Maya were also included in this land grant after much protest. The background is that during the 1950s and 60s, the Mexican government encouraged land-hungry campesinos from other parts of Chiapas to migrate to the jungle with the promise of land. This was done to get those campesinos and their militant peasant organizations off the backs of the mestizo landowners. After enticing them into the jungle, however, the government turned around and in 1972 gave the land to a different group of indigenous people known as the Lacandones. We're talking about several million acres of land given to just 66 Lacandon families who had not even asked for it. This government treachery caused such an uproar that the government soon had to offer some of the other Maya language groups, specifically Chol and Tzeltal, a chance to relocate within what the government called the Lacandon community and to own a little piece of the communal wealth. This offer was on the condition that they would live in specified settlements. Some accepted. The other settlers belonged to campesino organizations which resisted resettlement and struggled for years to legalize those communities which already existed prior to the creation of the Lacandon community. It was partly from those communities that resisted and their campesino organization that the EZLN was born. Not only were those existing communities endangered, all the settler communities, whether inside or on the outskirts of the Lacandon community, were threatened. Their ability to expand as their population grew was cut off forever by that government decision. What was the government's motive for such an apparently stupid decision? Greed. It was greed for the precious wood in the rainforest. The Lacandones and those Chol and Tzeltal people who accepted living in settlements agreed to give the government the legal right to cut down mahogany and cedar trees within the Lacandon community. For a good price, of course. Speculation is that one of the motives for the violent attack on Viejo Velasco is that the community land contains a large grove of mahogany forest. The attackers claim that they are the legal owners of the land on which Viejo Velasco is located and that they want to evict the, quote, settlers, unquote. This is in spite of the fact that negotiations were ongoing with Mexico's Agrarian Reform Agency, and we're close to legalizing Viejo Velasco. So, obviously, somebody didn't want it legalized. Among the group of attackers were armed men wearing several types of uniforms. Some wore state police uniforms and carried high-powered weapons. In other words, very expensive and only legal for use by police and military, which implies a possible connection to the state police. At least one human rights group identified them as members of OPDIC, that's O-P-D-D-I-C, a group of PRI pre-members organized and funded by local cattle ranchers belonging to the PRI, political party. Following this incident, the Lacandones fled to a museum in San Cristobal de las Casas, saying that they feared reprisals by the EZLN. This despite the fact that the EZLN had issued its clarification. Next, OPDIC announced that it would no longer recognize the authority of the good government juntas and intended to take back vast quantities of land in four official Chiapas counties, land which now belongs to the good government juntas in the caracoles of Morelia and La Garrucha. This is an ominous sign for both independent organizations like Chinish and Zapatista communities, and the entire incident and its aftermath have the distinct odor of a counterinsurgency move by the government. The mass murders in Viejo Velasco become even more ominous as a new governor takes office in Chiapas today. His name is Juan Sabinas. He's a former pre-PRI mayor of the capital city of Chiapas, but he ran on the PRD ticket and won with the support of dissident PRI members like former Chiapas governor Roberto Albores Guillen. Now, Sabinas is rewarding his pre-supporters with cabinet positions. Albores Guillen's son is among those given an appointment. As some of you may remember, Albores Guillen was appointed interim governor after the Acteal massacre. He soon proceeded to violently, quote, dismantle, unquote, four of the autonomous Zapatista municipalities, putting their autonomous authorities in prison. And in the case of San Juan de la Libertad, or otherwise known as El Bosque, he killed eight Zapatistas in Unión Progreso and Chavajeval. In Taniperla, headquarters of Ricardo Flores Magón, Zapatista municipio, the authorities were imprisoned, foreigners were expelled from the country, residents of Taniperla were displaced, and the village turned over to the PRI paramilitaries. Albores engaged in the most overt acts of counterinsurgency. Will this resume under Sabinas? Is the repression against Oaxaca as well as Calderón and Sabinas taking power emboldening OPDIC, the paramilitaries from Nueva Palestina?
It's a really interesting question that you're bringing up because it makes us focus on the fact that the blurring, there's a blurring of political parties in Mexico. I think this is really interesting because we have Juan Sabines, who is the pre-mayor of Tuxtla Gutierrez, which is the capital of Chiapas. He runs as a PRD candidate for governor of Chiapas, and he's voluntarily going to work with, he's offered himself voluntarily to work with Felipe Calderón. So that, you know, we have this blurring of the PAN, the PRI, and the PRD, which is going on, and it makes perfect sense why the Zapatistas think that they can't trust political parties, because obviously, like, there's no competition that goes on between the political parties. It's essentially one group of elites.
All right. Well, as most of you know, Hugo Chavez won the elections this weekend in Venezuela. So let's go to a musical break in the honor of the people of Venezuela.
Artículo primero. Se designa al ciudadano Pedro Carmona Estanga, presidente de la República de Venezuela.
Pedro Carmona Estanga, en condición de presidente de la República de Venezuela, juro ante Dios Todopoderoso.
Suspende de sus cargos a los diputados principales y suplentes a la Asamblea Nacional.
Retira la lucha porque hay un golpe de Estado en Venezuela. Que sacan preso.
Este es nuestro sueño, por nuestros hijos.
Muy buenos días, amigos de RCTV.
Que vean lo que dicen, porque nosotros no estamos tolerando ya todo lo que ellos están diciendo.
De la salida de un presidente que no quería escuchar.
Chávez se rinde.
Estamos cansados de tanta mentira y tanta falsedad contra el pueblo venezolano y que nos tenga humillado. Estamos cansados.
Con la revolución.
Yo lo único que le digo a los escuálidos que fracasó el paro.
Ayer acá, a pesar del luto, hay un ambiente de tranquilidad.
El parto es evidente como la erupción a punto de bullición de siete. Por debajo en el ambiente está el piso, el bizarro está caliente. Así que tomen, tomen, desestemen, temen. Porque me que se viene, nadie lo detiene, tiene. Tiene años incubando, pero algún día le llegan a ser. Estábamos esperando, ansiosos por criarlo, verlo crecer, alimentarlo, hijo. Querrán asesinarlo, vamos a impedirlo. Hay que asumirlo, quieren saber su nombre. Su nombre visión, quieren saber su nombre es revolución. Quieren saber su nombre visión, quieren saber su nombre es revolución. Oh, hijo nuestro, vuestro de ellos, de ustedes y de vosotros. ¿A cuántos han dejado? Dime con los culos rotos. Los dueños de la torta impartiendo las órdenes. No entienden, no comprenden que has nacido otra vez. Pero esta vez no vamos a abandonarte, no vamos a dejarte morir. Con los errores de nuestros antecesores vamos a repetir.
Órale. Los All of you know by now, Felipe Calderón took office this December 1st through a very complicated process with a militarized Mexico City in order to be able to take office.
And a sleeping party in Mexican Congress.
And a pajama party is what they're calling it. And you know, the congressmen and women beating each other and insulting each other and so on.
Unbelievable.
Beautiful circus up there. And the appointments of right-wingers is beginning to worry us right now. There is a number of appointments that are sending a very ominous signal in terms of what's coming in Mexico and the absolute intolerance of social movements. We have, for example, the case of Francisco Ramírez Acuña. He was a former governor of Jalisco. He's now been appointed attorney general, and he has a very dubious history. On May 28th of 2004, the state police of Jalisco repressed very violently a demonstration against the third conference of chiefs of states of Latin America and the Caribbean and the European Union. There was a demonstration against this conference, and the police beat up a lot of people, jailed a lot of people, and the National Human Rights Commission reported a number of cases of cruel and degrading treatment, 70 of people incomunicados, 6 cases of torture, and we had Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, also requesting government investigations of human rights violations and so on, including 19 cases of torture and other abuses. Yet Ramírez Acuña at that time simply refused to have anything to do with it or start any kind of investigation. Upon taking office, Ramírez Acuña declares now that he will have what he calls an intense relationship with the National Human Rights Commission. And as an indication of what this appointment will mean, the new subsecretary of state appointed under Ramírez Acuña declared yesterday that the secretary of state's priority will be to, unquote, reduce the number of movements that alter social peace.
That's really, really dangerous, because anything, I mean, anybody can characterize anything they want as something that alters the social peace. That's such a vague terminology. But what it means is, essentially, they're getting rid of social movements, any sort of social movements. I mean, this is talking about the APO, anything that's going on in Oaxaca right now. They're talking about the Zapatistas. They're talking about any kind of progressive social movement that's going on in Mexico. So this is something we really have to watch out for.
And that was more overt too, because you know, in the sexenio of Fox, it was really very much under the covers for the most part. But now it's mano dura, it's the strong hand
that's
coming through just much more directly.
Exactly,
it's
right.
Very explicit. And also, you know, there is no recognition whatsoever on the part of the government and the PAN party that social movements are an expression of social expression of problems that are very real in Mexico. And so there's no recognition whatsoever. The only thing here is to get rid of the problem, smash it, and not recognize that there is anything that the people have to say against the politics of the government.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's not getting rid of the problem. I mean, it's getting rid of the symptom of the problem. The problem is poverty. The problem is oppression. The problem is everything that's going on in Mexico. The symptom of that problem is the fact that there are social movements that are trying to address those problems. And the government's response is to squash the social movements, to kill any sort of resistance to their programs. I mean, we're talking about neoliberalism here.
Further example of this, Eduardo Medina Mora, he was the Secretary of Public Security, therefore responsible for the repression by the federal police of both Oaxaca, the Oaxacan movement now, and Atenco. He has been rewarded for this by being named Attorney General of the country.
One of the interesting things that we see is that this is not new, especially for us here in the United States. It seems like there is a model that Mexico is following in some ways. As we see the cabinet of President George W. Bush, I mean, and his appointees for international bodies like the UN or the CIA,
exactly.
And such. There are people with dirty track records, with records of repression. I mean, we see Negroponte with the Contra Nicaragua situation.
And
we see
Abrams too over there.
Yeah, I mean, we see it everywhere. I mean, these people are just very much building on their experience, and they're valued for their experience because they are very much in tune with the general plan.
We have a few names, other names for you. Juan Carlos Romero Hicks. He's the ex-governor of Guanajuato. He's a member of the extreme right organization El Yunque, and he was named head of the National Council for Science and Technology. Cecilia Romero, she has oftentimes repeated her conservative position on things like abortion, and she has now been named the new commissioner for the National Migration Institute, and also Francisco López Mena, who was in the Commission for Tourism, and he has now been promoted to the National Council for Tourism.
It's really interesting because he's involved in the whole movement to open up casinos in Mexico, which have been banned by the Constitution since the 30s. So I think that there's a whole, this fits into the whole project of neoliberalism, which is linked with the owners of transnational companies. For example, people who own a lot of the maquiladoras are trying to get involved in the casino movement. And so this is a big thing that's linked up with the government through cronyist networks, that they're trying to open up these markets to be able to exploit them.
We can expect a lot of very difficult times for Mexico in the future. Let's go to a musical break, and we'll have a few minutes to talk about the situation in Oaxaca.
Una vez más,
sigo aquí.
He estado pensando
que
a lo mejor es cierto que soy un tipo molesto, pero tengo un pequeño problema con la gente que me rodea. No se ofendan, pero a veces me da que no piensan, no comprenden que no me emocione al ver una bandera y se me pongan los pelos de punta cuando oigo un buen tema. Y he aprendido a tener paciencia, pero a veces veo cosas que en verdad me queman. ¿Por qué se movilizan en retama de mar para que no levanten una mezquita para rezar? De verdad, a veces quiero olvidar el rap, coger un micro y decir bien claro que me da asco que sigan dejando entrar a nazis en los estadios sin que nadie diga nada y el problema sea el top manta. No señor, el problema no es la inmigración, es la educación. Ser distinto no es ser inferior. ¿Quién se inventó eso del tercer mundo? Piénsalo, no hay un segundo mundo. Juegan con las palabras para crear más distancia y nunca han querido acortarlas, porque el poder del grande está en ver al pequeño quejarse de que nunca podrá llegar a ser grande. Sí, me acusan de ser radical, pero yo digo que lo que molesta es oír la verdad. De todos modos, basta ya de educación. Si tú me enseñas tus mentiras, yo mi dedo corazón. Si me mientes, dedo corazón.
So on November 25th, there was an undeclared state of exception that's been going on in Oaxaca. The police violently invaded. They kicked out the APO from all their last bastions where they were holding out in the university. And over 150 people, between 150 and 200 people have been detained, and other people have been kidnapped. It seems like a coordinated operation between the federal police forces and paramilitary groups and state police forces that are all working for the state governor, Ulises Ruiz, who the APO have been trying to get out. And a lot of these prisoners have been distributed throughout prisons all around the country. It's an effort on the part of the Mexican government to make people not be able to know, to be able to find out where these people are. They're not being charged. They're being held without being able to talk to lawyers. It's really a scary situation.
Radio Universidad was turned back. There's no more radio stations that are part of the movement. Independent journalists have fled the state, and there is a virtual silence in terms of voices being able to express what's going on down there. Also, Flavio Sosa and other leaders of the APO were detained immediately after they made a press conference in Mexico City saying that they were there to dialogue with the government. Right afterwards, they were detained and imprisoned. They're in high security prisons. There's an independent international civil rights commission composed of observers from several countries who's preparing right now to go to Oaxaca for an in-depth investigation. They have a very interesting and very good track record. They did an extraordinary investigation on Atenco. They've been several times in Chiapas, so they're going to be investigating that. At the same time, there's the relatives of people that have been detained have requested the UN High Commissioner of Human Rights to send a delegation to investigate human rights violations in that state. And the Commission of the Apo left for Mexico City to present a list of political prisoners to the Secretary of State and demand a negotiated resolution to the conflict. They're planning a peaceful demonstration again in Oaxaca this Sunday. And, final note, the Zapatista Army declared its support for the movement and called for national and international demonstration on December 22nd. Well, this was Radio Zapatista, Chiapas No Se Olvida. Thank you for your attention, and we'll be back next month with more revolution.
De todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Kibule, you're listening to KPFA here, 94.1 FM. This is La Onda Bajitas, Radio del Barrio Aslan.